censored. I'm going to hold it.
I gotta go to work here soon, but what is everybody else doing? You hear from anybody? It looks like Platypus is up and running, isn't he?
I'm sure David will jump on the blower here in just a few seconds. And let's see what the temperature is out in Sinkland.
It's okay, so when both James Ray and Mark LeClaire got censored from the sinkhole, it only was like a week or so later that I started having syncs of exactly what they were saying. Do you know what I mean? So it was like, but you can't be mad at Jake Kotza or Richard Aerosmith for censoring because they have the ability to make their own decisions as well. So otherwise, if I said no, what you guys did was wrong, I'd just be censoring in them.
Yeah. So what was it? I know that Mark got bounced from that group, but who was James Ray?
James Rat, or he was a friend of John Kidd's. John Kidd got him on the Sinkhole, and then James got. Well, there was a common thread of certain individuals who started calling the Sinkhole Camp Kumbaya, like everything is fucking butterflies and the only point, all of this equals joy. Don't worry about figuring out Sink because we've already got it. It's Jupiter. And so Ray, since he was actually on the Sinkhole, started letting that leak into the post a little bit. And there was another individual named Strange Eye. I'll just call him Strange Eye. He was brought on to the Sinkhole. On the very first day he was on there, James Raitt said something derogatory about Jews and was censored by the brand new individual, Strange Eye. He pulled it off. And so James threw a fit. There was this whole big argument, but James was allowed to stay on the Sinkhole. But because of that, he was always kind of bitter. Mm-hmm. And so he'd always throw these little punches down. And he started accusing individuals of ripping off other people's posts and he started putting more stuff out there about like the gay conspiracy, sort of like it doesn't all go down to Jupiter. It all comes down to butt sex. And then who was it? I believe that person – the person who – Jake Kotza was the one who basically finally said, hey, look, you're bringing the post down. You're not within a cooperative zone as far as the other individuals and the Sinkhole go. So I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to pull you. You're out.
This was just on Blogger, right? So he just removed – he went into – you guys were sharing a Blogger account, and so somebody went in and they didn't like what somebody said, and so they erased
right.
it.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
And just took him off as one of the administrators on the blog. Mm-hmm. The Sinkhole was like the Mask of God. It was just a joint blog where there was basically no rules.
Now, is that censorship or is that saying you can say whatever the hell you want, you're just not going to say it in our group?
He took off what he put on.
But I'm saying it's like – you can go put that in your blog. I could care less, but you're not going to put it as a representative of our blog. Is that censorship?
I'm not taking away your
right to say it. I'm just saying I don't want you saying it here. It's not what I represent.
We don't want to be represented.
Yeah.
It's a more of a matter of representation rather than what are you saying? Because I think that, as far as I can tell, I mean, I don't know everything about it. I kind of jumped in towards the end of it, but it seemed like people were upset about a Facebook post, the way that something got phrased, was what people were offended by, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it and it.
So that, I mean, that's him representing. I mean, you could say he's representing 42 minutes, but I mean, that is a yeah. I don't know.
There seems to have been quite a leap in including a personal Facebook page with a Sinkbook Facebook page or a Kitchen Sink Facebook page or a 42 Minutes Facebook page. It just was sort of like, this is the internet, hear me roar, everything's connected. So if you say it in your personal Facebook page, you're saying it for everything you're connected to. And I don't know if that's necessarily true, but I do think that calling attention to it and asking a question about where do you stand on this, what do you feel about it, you know, I think that that's appropriate.
Did we lose Will over here?
I think we did. I've been losing Will like every 5 minutes. I don't know if it's...
Oh boy.
Let's see. I figure when Alan jumps on, maybe we can sketch out the full details. Here's Alan.
Everybody.
Alan.
Yo.
Yo.
Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, David.
You're actually in bed right now, huh?
No, I'm out of bed.
Okay. I like.
I didn't go to sleep till after six. I was just like, just so fucking annoyed. Sorry. Go ahead. Were you like the idea of what?
I like the idea of you like literally like rolling over in bed and just turning on your computer and just like having your Skype right there and just being like starting the day with like just the push of a couple buttons. But that's just how it happened in my head.
It's not far from it. I set an alarm for 11. I've never heard it, and I just woke up like 5-10 minutes ago, and I just glanced over at the clock, and I was like, "Oh shit!" So, so I'm getting there's a message from Cosmic Comics. Frank Zero says, "Hey, Violator isn't getting out of work till later. He was wondering if we could aim for 2 p.m. for the Always Record." I mean, I'm thinking we just first of we don't have to actually make this part of a show or anything. We could just have a conversation first about what we want to do, and then you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I didn't mean to hijack. If there's something you guys want to do for today's show, I have no worries, no issues.
Just as long as we get to talk about Jodie Foster. That's all I really care about.
Michael Keaton.
Yeah, hey. This is the Accused episode, so let's, you know, as long as it ties into Donnie Darko a little bit, I'm okay.
Well, yeah. Talk to me, guys. What's up?
I love you, Alan.
I love you too. Well, it was seriously. Why can't I see this? Hello. Andras and Tommy are both asking to be added to this call, but it's not working when I do
that. It's a popular episode.
Battle Royale.
I'm probably... My internet's acting up, so I could get dropped at any minute. Just know that I'm not pissed off and storming off anywhere.
Got you. So, Will, good morning. And for the record, I understand your frustration with trying to all this, and
I just want to be clear. I'm not trying to like brush it under. It's just to me, it's censoring the censor. It's like, what's the point? I knew as soon as you started saying shit, all that was going to end up is Justin and you going, "Fuck you! No, fuck you! No, fuck you!" So,
and sometimes that's healthy. You know what? If I had just said "fuck you" 2 days ago, I would have been sleeping. Seriously,
this has been going on for 2 days, huh?
And the thing is,
it had basically stopped until Alan came back.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, part of me was hoping it would just play itself out, and then I realized it just sort of festered in me because, at least the way I feel about it, the way this was resolved was that everyone made Violator feel whatever. Okay, let's figure out first if this is what the show's about. Because if it is, I want to actually intro this with some sort of context for listeners. So, let's. Can you see if you can add Andros to this call? Because I wasn't able to add him, and he was asking to be added. It looks like Tommy. Are you here?
Yep.
Awesome. How are you today, Tim?
I'm pretty good. How about you?
Pretty good.
Did you sleep at all?
I got a few hours.
Oh, because I haven't, as usual. It's always the case, isn't it?
You're a good company, Matt Frill.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm trying to add Andros, but he's no connection there.
Got you.
He'd probably be just pissed off when I'm not editing anyways.
Sorry, so Will, bring us your Jodie Foster, what you wanted to talk about, and then we'll as we get people into this call later, we'll take it in that direction.
No,
you know, in the direction
I'm there's you only have me for about 20 minutes or so.
Well, exactly. So
are you there, Andros?
I am.
Hello.
No, I'm not going to. I was just kidding around. I'm not going to whine and scream and say this. It's just, like I said, there's just no point. There's just no point. And the way you came off was basically like, I'm fucking pissed off at you, Justin. So I'm going to get Violator, who's also pissed off at you, and we're going
Violator
to fucking hash this out.
No, actually, I don't think Violator is pissed off. Violator was pissed off. I wish
Violator handled himself like a pro, because Violator always does.
But see, here's the thing. Read the thing, at first he says, I'm not apologizing. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm not apologizing. And then as it went, you and Bill and a few other people join in and say, you know, this is really inappropriate, or like using this fucking...
I didn't say shit about it being inappropriate.
Thought it was Fred Durst type promoting material.
Offended
me on a creativity level. It was like,
sure, but he, the thing
I got,
is,
I got the joke.
It was on his
I got
own,
the joke. He's being self-deprecating. He was basically saying, I got the joke right when I saw it for the first time. Justin didn't get the joke.
It wasn't much of a joke. It just seemed like he was expressing that he was self-conscious about his own voice, and that he was it was his way of communicating that he's invading your space with his voice. And he's like, is it okay if I do that? And like, I at least that's how I initially received it. And I didn't think much about it necessarily. Like, it was just kind of like, it was just him being himself. Like, hey, there was absolutely no ill intent. Like, it's the way he was using the word was in a completely different way. I don't know.
The reason I wanted to talk, and so what I was hoping that would happen is, because things had calmed down, what I was hoping could happen is we could have a real conversation about this. So it wasn't like, hey, let's have him on to scream at each other, or that I would scream at somebody. The idea is that if there's a difference of opinion, let's talk it out, because this is not the first time there's been this difference of opinion, as you know. So it's rather than saying it's never going to go anywhere, it's because we never actually address it. So yes, I have strong opinions, and what I would like to do is sort of not be, you know, if it goes there, to not be host, to not be sync daddy on this episode, because, you know, the thing is, I didn't want to speak as Sync Book Press. Justin asked me, what does Sync Book Press think of this? I'm like, well, I don't want to speak as Sync Book Press, because I have my opinion, as far as the company goes, you know, or whatever, is this even a company? You know, whatever the fuck this is like the whole thing, like, what is the official statement of Sync Book Press? Well, if I'm the only guy who can provide an official statement of Sync Book Press, well, guess what? The official statement is going to be that we We do not support censorship. I'm certainly not going to censor someone's own personal Facebook page. That's the other thing. This was not a statement that was made on the SyncBook press page. It was made on his own personal Facebook page. So to ask someone to, do you, you know, just the whole air of it was that this needs to be rectified. There needs to be an apology, and there needs to be a change or an awareness. How many people on this thing said, you know, as long as you understand that this language is inappropriate and you'll be more conscious of it in the future, that's saying, hey, we want to change the way you write, you speak, you think.
Is that the Thought Police?
It's Thought Police.
Are those wolves howling?
Sirens. But yeah, it might be serious howling. All right. So if we're going to start the episode, then I need to do. There needs to be some sort of opening up front. Yeah.
Do
okay.
It.
Oh wait. And first, wait. If you're gonna do that, this is Andras hopping in. Just so that people who are coming in the middle of this.
No, that's what I'm saying. Is I want to make a beginning. I want to make a beginning now.
A synopsis. Rather than people.
Yeah. Like, let's have a starting point that we can start this conversation. Because I don't think it makes sense for anyone to tune in and hear us just going back and forth on that.
When has our show ever made sense?
Well, how many people are even in? There are more people who download our show than are in a Facebook group.
Hell yeah, dude.
You know, so, okay. Today we're going to talk about, probably among many other things, we're going to be talking about a post on a Facebook page called The Kitchen Sink. If anyone wants to go to Facebook and join The Kitchen Sink, SYNC, there is this is a space that we normally discuss a lot of the topics we discuss on this show, a lot of the authors from the Sync book post there, and it's just a place to, for most part, to discuss synchronicity. But a sort of, as the internet will often give us, a sort of strong difference of opinion erupted there in the last few days, and I really want to address it. Before I give you the synopsis of what was said, I want to address one point, which is this stems out of Violator Hellspawn's most recent contribution for the show 42 Minutes. And what I'm really afraid is going to happen is the topic is going to be about the controversy around it rather than the actual episode, when it's a fantastic episode. I think that's
so
that
good.
That was never debated. That was, I don't think that was ever the issue, was whether or not his episode was offensive or not. So I really hope everyone listens, go to thesyncbook.com/42 minutes and listen to the most recent episode that Violator did. I think it's episode 90. It's really phenomenal, and I really hope everyone listens to that. And if this conversation, I don't want this conversation to detract from what he did in any way, because I think the episode is really fantastic. So that, I just had to put that up front as well. So here's the deal. So he gets excited that he made this thing and that it was uploaded to 42 minutes, and on his own personal Facebook page, he put up a thing. I'll get the exact quote, but it was essentially that he was going to ear rape listeners with 40 minutes of his audio. As to what he meant by that or whether or not that was an appropriate use of words is probably going to be a good part of the conversation. Because the issues that were raised around it was how insensitive it was to use such a phrase. And I was asked, what does SyncBook Press think of this? And does SyncBook Press support that kind of stuff? Was the phrasing, does SyncBook Press support this kind of stuff? Implying, does SyncBook Press support, you know, rape or violence towards women? Well, obviously, we do not. And again, I don't know if I can speak for SyncBook Press. I think SyncBook Press, I would like to think of it as something more than just me, but in reality, it is something that is from the guy doing most of the heavy lifting on. So when pushed into a corner of what does SyncBook Press feel about this, or what is the position, I can really only speak for myself, but speaking, I think, pretty plainly as the company as well, and then I'll go into my own personal thing later, I'd like to separate the two. But I think the position would be to support our artists and to support artists, especially artists who are doing amazing work, such as Violator did, and fighting censorship. And I feel that this is an issue of censorship that people were asking him to take that down or say things differently. The whole thing that erupted around it, to me, reeks of censorship. So I want to start this off with as SyncBook Press, the position is we support our artists and fight censorship. I may not agree with, I've made this point over and over again, that there are a lot of authors in these books and on that we have on these shows. I do not agree with all of their positions. Some people have pretty horrible, you know, personal views on things that I really don't agree with. But you know what? I may not agree with what people say, but I will defend with every ounce of energy left in me, I will defend their right to say it. And that's the position of SyncBook Press. From here on out, I think I'll be speaking as Alan, and I'll probably be a little more loose with my phrasing.
Alan, just so that people know what we're talking about, I'd like to, this is Andras, I'd like to give a little dramatic reading of Violator's Facebook post, so people know what we're talking about. He said, click here so I can rape your ears. Turn up volume because my ear-violating voice is rather quiet. Long live ear rape culture! Exclamation point. And then a link to Stygian Port, Hall of Two Truths, a 42-minute podcast.
No, horrible. We had promoted the first episode of Always Record as... Let Ellen, David, and Bill gangbang and rape your ears. Long live ear rape culture. It would reflect upon the mission statement of the show a little bit, I would imagine. And would we? I mean, I don't know if we would make that choice, but we would have that freedom to do so. I think it would cut into the ability for us to gain an audience right off the bat, don't you think?
I don't know. Howard Stern seemed to have no problem getting an audience, and he said a lot worse things than that. So,
yeah, but Howard Stern is target audience or target culture is like a 17-year-old boy. You know? You have to, I mean, your market, at that point, your mission statement or your marketing statement is targeted towards your core audience or what you think should be your core audience or who would resonate most with your message.
But see, to me, this isn't a marketing... So, like, okay.
Right,
so this,
are we doing this to sell something, or are we doing it...
No, you're saying, I have produced something that I think you'd like to hear. If you don't know who I am or what I'm about, all I have to offer you is, this is on 42 minutes, right? My piece is called The Hall of Two Truths. And as a barker saying, come one, come all, I'm saying, let me ear rape you. Long live ear rape culture. And that third component really kills the whole thing.
Wait a second. This guy's name is Violator Hellspawn.
Right.
His name already is raped by the devil, right? I mean, that's kind of...
Well, it's Violator, not Violated.
Okay, so he is the Violator Hellspawn.
It's like the smell the glove conundrum.
You know what? That's how abuse works. If you get abused, you abuse. Like, it's like, that's just, it's a cycle. It's a vicious Urkel.
That's right.
I'm offended by your use of the word Urkel.
I'm saying it because Scrambo's got his Urkel picture here, and it's in front of me. Amy and I, when we were discussing this last night, at midnight, I come across this whole thing, and I'm talking to my girlfriend about it, and I'm like, this is going to be so difficult not to make humor if I want to be serious and send a good message and stuff, because we kept laughing. And, like, it's just because things come up, and she's like, well, who is this guy? I'm like, he's Violator Hellspawn. She's like, who's that? And I show a picture from Spawn of Violator. I'm like, yes. Oh, God. If it's taken out of context, see, it's a context of who he's, the character that he's running with there, and it's his thing. So, you know, I don't know. It makes me curious of what's going to happen on the show. Because I'm like, okay, well, fucking Violator Hellspawn. Am I?
Right.
I don't know. Sorry, guys.
Do you think that... See, this is the thing. This is...
Do you know...
This censorship, or is Justin's commentary, and this... I think this is what you're trying to get at, Alan, is this censorship as defined, or is this something different? Or is it the danger to call it something different because then you're censoring blindly? That's what I'm hearing. Because to use the Spinal Tap reference is actually pretty, it works pretty well. Because they have a record company, right? And they're going to spend the millions of dollars to put out their record. And they see the cover art, and it's a naked woman on all fours with a leash around her neck. And four men sticking gloves in her face, and it's called Smell the Glove. And the record company doesn't want to put out that record album. Now, they think it's censorship. But the record album says, we're just not going to put out a record with that cover. You can go put out your record somewhere else. Now, correct. Is that censorship, or is that creative bullying, or is there a difference?
No, I think that's a fair conversation, but I guess what I'm saying is I don't think that is this conversation exactly, because it wasn't that Violator asked me to put up on the Sync Book Press website. This was nothing that came out on our website or our Facebook page. This was on his own personal page. So the question in this scenario would be more like, if the members of Spinal Tap took this photo and put it, you know, and hung it in their house or something or whatever, and were showing it to their friends, and someone got offended and contacted the record label saying, hey, these guys who are on your record label are showing this photo or saying these horrible things to their friends.
I don't know. Violator's personal Facebook page is promoting his work that was seemingly approved or welcomed by 42 Minutes, and 42 Minutes is connected to Sync Book Press. And maybe it's an absurd leap, but what if he had finished his personal Facebook post with Heil Hitler? And that was some sort of inside joke that Violator just likes to use, and everyone knows he's not a Nazi and he doesn't use it that way, but if he had closed his personal Facebook post promoting his appearance on 42 Minutes with a Heil Hitler, would you have said, yeah, you know, I get it. That's just what Violator does. Or would you be concerned that people would say, oh, 42 Minutes has a whole neo-Nazi contingent?
You have to put at the head of Sync Book Press, at the head of Kitchen Sync, the views expressed here are not necessarily the views of Sync Book Press. And we, you know, like, I don't know, you need a disclaimer? I mean, people should know that anyway, right?
Right. But once again, it wasn't on the Kitchen Sink page. It was on his personal page.
I thought I saw it there, but I guess I didn't.
Me too. I mean, I saw it, and all I saw was the word rape. And I was like, but I probably wouldn't have listened to it anyway.
I want people to listen to it because it's awesome.
Right.
It is awesome.
Right. Right.
If people want to say, hey, that word was something that made me not want to listen to it, okay. So obviously he didn't, as far as self-promotion goes, he did not promote himself in a way that's appealing to you and probably to a lot of other people, and they can choose not to listen. Whereas on the website, how I promoted it, had nothing. His episode has nothing to do with rape. So like there was no reason for me to promote that way. I don't think that way. I don't even think it's a particularly funny joke.
Mm-hmm.
The point is, however, that it's something he put on his own personal page. So Bill, your question of the Hail Hitler thing, you know, I mean, it was funny because before this even happened, I've been thinking in the sort of the sync threads that have been developing for me and all this sort of stuff. One of the things that I've really been thinking about is the idea of censorship and how does one even go about doing that? And that there are times where the temptation is to say the most offensive thing, not because it's something you actually are saying as a, you know, that you support rape or ear rape, which I think is two very fucking different things. But because not even just for shock value, but or like shock value in the Howard Stern sense, but shock value in the sense of how dare you say I can't say something. Like there's a sort of maybe childish or immature gut reaction that I had was, you know, oh, you're going to say I can't say ear rape. Let me come up with some things that'll really offend you, just for the point of proving the point that that we should not live in a place that we are afraid to say anything. And the thing is not that we all have to sit around and kumbaya and stroke someone's back. If it offends you, say it offends me. But I'm saying it crosses a line rather than a healthy debate of you get to say whatever you want and I get to say I strongly disagree with you or that's offensive or anything like that. What I think is the issue I take with it is that everyone sort of ganged up and said, hey, let's figure, you know, we just want you to learn the error of your ways and hopefully in the future this will change the way you speak or you'll think about it before you say this and all this sort of stuff. And to me, this was a very, you know, modern, liberal, soft form of fascism. This was like everyone gathering around to go, you know, shake their finger and go, well, as long as you understand in the future that's not appropriate and you're going to change the way you speak is really very not very different from people saying, no, you can't say that and we're not going to allow you to say that in the future. It's just the modern sort of way of doing it.
Well, if Violator admitted by his own words that he said the comment speaks to his own insecurities, self-deficiencies. It's a self-deprecating stab at his own voice and how he projects himself, right? If that's how he's categorizing what he says, and he says it speaks to my sense of humor about what I'm dealing with on a personal level, there is a certain gut reaction there that it's like, well, pull yourself the fuck up. You know what I mean? You shouldn't have to feel that what you say is so unimpressive and meek that in order for anyone to hear you or to pay you any mind, you have to tie them to the chair, hold their eardrums open with mechanical pins and needles so that you can ear rape them. There's a certain guttural reaction to say, instead of just wallowing in that with a really stupid and immature display.
You want to know what I think? I don't think that he said it initially to be self-depreciating. I think that was after he was made to feel bad about it, he then reverted to a state of probably already being oversensitive to things, being put in a place where everyone's going to make you feel really bad about what you did and feel bad about yourself. And that probably feeds into whatever pre-existing insecurities. The way I read that was, I made something awesome. You gotta fucking hear this. I want you to fucking hear what I did. And to me,
that's fucked up.
That's fucked up?
Yeah! That's really fucked up.
Why? Wait. Back up here. There's a lot of reasons I can see why using the word rape casually, which we're all doing, by the way, is problematic, especially if there was a woman in the room. But why is it not cool to say, hey, I'm awesome in the most audacious way? I mean, so, like, we're talking about prying the ears open. we have a picture of prying the eyes open on Malcolm McDowell on the SyncBook page that's pretty prominent. These are all, I mean, this is a realm, an artistic realm, where people are expressing themselves in audacious ways. People are saying some really outrageous things. All, like, every day on
the
SyncBook.
You can be audacious as an adult, or you can be audacious as a 16-year-old boy. A 16-year-old boy expresses himself in the comic book image of a raper or a rapist. It's saying, you are better than that. It's saying, I'm offended at your insecurities bleeding into how you're projecting yourself out into an audience. And it's saying, SyncBook Press is like, come one, come all, dysfunctional 16-year-old boys swimming in retarded sexuality. Rape all of our audience's ears with your awesomeness. There's something here that the discussion wasn't about censorship. It was about shock that this would be the content or the quality of the work being displayed. Now, there's a shit ton of miscommunication involved here. And I think there are pieces overlapping pieces that don't necessarily connect. And unfortunately, I think that Violator Hellspawn is putting himself in the middle of this conversation in a way that is unfair. I think he should have been judged purely on the work itself. But what he did say, and that kind of strain of thinking, I just thought, you know, it didn't mesh well with me, but I support his right to project himself in any way he does.
Can I bring some synchronicity into this just a little bit? It's not, I mean, so, like, I've listened to his thing, and I showed it to Amy for a second as I was listening to it, because I was just like, I actually was like, I love this guy. This is one of my favorite guys. Wow, I can't believe they gave him a whole show on 42 minutes. That's awesome. And then, so we're watching Mad Men afterwards. We're almost done with just the first season. I just started it. And the wife of Don Draper made a comment about she had let a salesman into her house.
Yeah.
And she had this whole, like, sexual fantasy around him. And then afterwards, when she was in bed and she was discussing it with her husband, she was like, he was upset that she let a stranger in the house. And she's like, it's just like when we turn on the TV and then we turn it off. And that's how she was relating letting a stranger into the house. And I thought that was like, when I heard that, it made me think of Violator. Before I knew anything about this upsetness that people had around what he had said, I didn't even realize people were upset about it. I had read it and I listened to his thing. And then I was like, huh, that was like Violator saying the ear rape comment was like when you listen to a radio show in the same way as when you turn on your television, you're letting someone into your personal space. So we're like, you know, we're all concerned about not letting strangers in a house. Meanwhile, people will let commercials play in their homes at loud volumes. Like, what the fuck is that? Like, that's total ear rape. Like, people are getting ear raped all the time. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't know. That was what it brought up for me.
I mean, yeah, if you speak of it specifically, just like what we're talking about, it's a rape is a non-consensual violation. You know, we apply it to sex crimes. And you could say, I mean, there are people who are, you know, have been victims of rape who have made you make a very strong case that you should never use that word in any way other than as to describe a violent sex crime that it is. But at the same time, there are plenty of people who use it. The term has become a term that is larger than that and refers to a non-consensual violation. And in this case, you could say that that's a very accurate, that it's like, I have a problem with I don't know Violator, but I have a problem with sort of pathologizing him and saying that he's being a 16-year-old. He could be making fun of 16-year-old culture. We don't know. This is the part that it's not really the censorship that bothers me, because I don't think that censorship is going to happen here. There's too many wild and woolly voices. But what does is this: the assumption that because someone uses a word, that then we know what's wrong with them, and we can pathologize them and saying that they are a rapist, or that they are, you know, they are that they are childish, or they're sophomoric, or they're a sexist. They may be all these things, but there is a kind of, I don't know, moralistic certitude that I hear people move into when they feel like it's easy pickings. It's easy to call someone on the use of the word rape or the use of the word cunt, that are, again, words that have specific meanings and then will have more general slang meanings. But it's easy to like say, okay, well, if someone uses that word, then they are de facto this, 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 and we need to schoolmarm them back into the fold. That's the part that's offensive to me. Because when I look at everything in the world, I see constant sexism everywhere I fucking turn. You don't have to use the word rape to express, you know, some really pernicious views if you want to see them that way. So I'm just going to keep coming in on that. On the one that I do believe that there is a valid point to be made that you shouldn't, that men using the term rape lightly is problematic across the board. And at the same time, people making judgments about the what an artist is and who they are because they use one dramatic word that pushes buttons is that's deeply problematic to me in this art movement, where we're going to say that all of our synchronicities are nice, because there are going to be rape synchronicities and, you know, Nazi synchronicities, just as there are going to be beautiful 42 synchronicities.
Right, exactly. And I think the question here, for me, it's like, one of the things that I think we talk about in this show is having to go into some of the darker headspaces, having to confront, it's not just the show, but the idea of sync is an all-encompassing look at everything and how everything connects to everything, that nothing is in any way removed. So for me, when I see someone say, oh no, we don't go there, oh no, that's off limits, it's an automatic knee-jerk reaction for me is, that's then you're not studying the same thing we're studying. If there's an area that you can't look at, or you want to make sure that other people don't look at, and in a way, I feel like this is, you know, this, it could have, you know, been a good opportunity to start a conversation about what is rape culture, what is, you know, blah blah blah. You know, if you want to go there, like the thing is that we need to sort of address a little bit of everything, and we need to look into some of these things. And I feel like the reaction of people to be like, oh, but that's off limits. How can anything be off limits in sync? And we just did Synchronize, where we were talking about what happens when you suppress certain archetypes, if you bottle something up and you don't actually address it. So in a way, you know, Bill, your comment on the Facebook thread that you're glad that Justin raised these issues, right? That he expressed his dissatisfaction or his offendedness or his whatever, that you're saying you're glad that he did that. Yeah, and in a sense, I'm very glad he did that as well. It's like, let's bring this conversation to the forefront. And at the same time, what really offended me is everyone kicked into PTA mode, and it was like, this is what, you know, this is acceptable language, this is what's acceptable, this is what's not, instead of, okay, this is what we're looking at right here. This is my view on it, this is his view on it. Do you know what I'm saying? At no other point do we try and, you know, one of the things I was getting at was like, if someone was talking about Clockwork Orange, would someone say to Stanley Kubrick, hey, Clockwork Orange, I watched Clockwork Orange as he's, you know, before he goes to release. Hey, this was a great movie, but you know, you got this brutal rape scene in there, actually more than one. We're not going to show that. Or if someone on the sync thread, so let's take this, you know, someone in a sync circle is talking about Clockwork Orange, as we have many times. People have many times shown the photo of the woman from Clockwork Orange.